That's over you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. Nothing can separate us. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says that I, they're in my Father's hand, they're in my hand, I and my Father are one. Nobody can snap them out of our hands. You know, we are secure. And therein lies our problem, because we don't reach very much beyond that. We think, well, I'm good. The pastor says I'm good. And we go around stumbling everybody else. We stumble other believers, and we stumble other people in the lost world who look at our lives. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And he asks them with question marks, the cup of blessing which will be blessed, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? In other words, the word communion is the word fellowship. It's the word koinonia. It means what we have in common. What do we really have in common with Jesus? He's high, holy, and lofty, and awesome. He's God. Well, we have his blood. He values it, and we value it. And you know, it's interesting because it's inverted. The blood goes first, and the bread comes second here, as he kind of brings it to their attention, that we are dynamically connected to Christ through the blood and through the body. And the reason is because the blood represents the joy, the mission accomplished, the blessing. The bread, now that's another thing. The bread that we break, it's the communion of the body. Well, the bottom line is that you and I, we break it when we bite down on it, because we're telling everyone who looks on that we live because of his death. We live upon his death. Had he not died, we'd have no hope. Now, folks, there is no other way to secure eternity. None. I cannot imagine going to the funeral of someone that I deeply love and cared for and not know whether they're in heaven or hell. I mean, that must be a terror beyond mine. Can you imagine slipping into eternity and having no clue where you're going to go? Some of us will, because we refuse to come. He's made it simple. Take a lamb, put the blood on the door. That was the shadow. But the shadow has given way to the substance. Take Jesus, trust his blood, understand that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. You trust him, you're free. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Your sins have separated you from God. Your sins, not somebody else's. Don't say, well, they did this to me, and they, if you only knew what I've been through. Listen, it's not what they did to you. What did they do to Jesus? If you're letting that go between you and God, it's your sin, your sinful reaction. God said, it's a fallen world, and I've thrown a lifeline in. His name is Jesus. Hold on, and I'll get you out of the mess. That's what the gospel is. And it makes sense, too. It's like amazing, because it makes sense. It comes full circle. Jesus died for us. All of the sacrifices looked forward to that. And the Bible says that when we come to this table, it's the communion. It's the commonness. It's when we come back to our core. Who are you? Does this matter? You see, that's what he's asking us. Does it matter? Is it really substantial? Is it significant to your heart? Or is it just a thing, man, I wish we'd get it over with so we could go? This is it here, folks. This is the core of who we are. We don't do baptism over and over again. We do the Lord's Supper because God says, you are prone to forget. So do this in remembrance of me. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. You know what we don't have in the elements? We don't have an illustration of the resurrection. You know why? Look down in the passage. Verse 17 says, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. We are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar, fellowshippers in the altar, participants in the altar? You raise up. You get up in a little while. You are a partaker of the table, of the altar. And when you get up from the dead, and you get up from the blood, and when you walk out, God is saying, there's the resurrection. Because you owned it. Because you understood it. Because you revisited it. But our problem is that we oftentimes walk away as if it didn't affect us, that we didn't walk away free. Yes, he knows you're going to get your feet dirty. Therefore, get your feet clean. The Bible says, wash one another's feet. That means forgive one another. just as Jesus was going to have them do for Judas. You know, they could have been eaten up with bitterness. Peter says, "Don't wash my feet, Lord. You can't do that. That's too humble." He says, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. They that are clean all over, have only need to wash their feet. We come back, we remember him, we remember he wants us to get our feet washed. Clean your feet up. Come back to the table. Say, Jesus, you're first again today. Today, you're first. I'm going to walk in newness of life today. I'm going to take it, put it under the blood. If we confess our sins, he says he is faithful and just. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the body. He is faithful to do it. He will do this. He will forgive you today. And he's just to do it because his son paid for it. You are part of the altar today. And when we have this communion, who looks on? He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth, you preach, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You know? Who's watching? He's not saying do it for each other. He's saying do it for the onlooking world. If somebody walks in and does not know the Lord Jesus, they ought not take, but they ought to let it go by, and they ought to meditate quickly and say, am I willing for that in my life? They seem to know what's going on there. The Bible says, he that taketh these elements in an unworthy manner, eateth and drinketh judgment to themselves. Punishment. Spankings. He says, some of you are sick among us. Some of you are in early graves because you've not discerned the Lord's body. That's all in chapter 11. Beloved, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We need to be serious about God. We can sing the songs of Zion. Boy, when we get those Gospel River boys, I'm going to sing about heaven. Man, I want to think about going home. But you know the core of our being is we were that close to being destroyed forever and ever. I mean the everlasting destruction, not destroyed and annihilated, but overwhelming, rolling in hell, rolling in flames, rolling in darkness, rolling in isolation, rolling in memories, rolling in missed opportunities, rolling in our gnashing of teeth. That was where we almost were. But God. Wow. And there are people we love and we care about that are depending on us to be partakers at the altar, fellowshippers in the altar, death, burial, and resurrection when we're living. Casting down our idols. Letting Christ be God. Letting God be true and every man alive. The Bible says we are one bread in verse 17. We are one body. Meaning we're part of this altar. He wants you to be what he was to this world. You know what he is to you is nourishment. You live upon his death. You kind of meditate. You grind the bread in your teeth and you think, you know, he died for me. He was crushed for me. And God says, we are one bread, so we have to be crushed too sometimes. Not all the time. You know, it's funny. God knows our measure. He knows you can't be crushed every day. He finds a song. You're young in the Lord, perhaps. You've got years ahead of you. But the older you get, the more he wants you to step in and step up, just like you do with your kids. You want them to bear the heat of the day after a while. You want them to do a little heavy lifting around the house. You want them to do take part. You want them to... And God wants us to get there. We are one bread. And he wants us to be nourishment to the world. We can't be all about us and be nourishment to the world. The Bible tells us in this passage in verse 19, what say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered to sacrifice to idols is anything? See, what he's saying is that these people were eating these things and they were thinking it didn't matter, but what they were really doing, it wasn't about the idol, it was about the people they were hurting because of the idol. They were not taking seriously the idols in their midst. And as a church, we need to take seriously the idols in our midst. Idols can be anything from a person to a pleasure. Did you know that? Some people give up their whole lives for a woman. The Bible says that for a love of a woman, a man is brought to a cross of bread. Men will throw themselves under the bus. Look at Adam. Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't. I think the only redeeming thing in that picture was that he threw himself in front of a bullet that he thought God was going to throw at her. And that's what Jesus did. He threw himself in front of a bullet that was intended for you and me. That is the only redeeming thing I can see in the midst of that mess there in the garden. Beloved, it could be a person, it could be a thing, it could be a pleasure, it could be a game, it could be a TV or a computer. It could be a sport. It could be a car. It could be a machine. What I love more. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'll be there, but I got my new boat and I got to go fishing. Now, I don't get that often, so I can use that one easy. But you can plug in your X, Y, or Z. What is it that would keep you from hearing God's Word and making it less important to you? One preacher said, you know, when excuses are easy, why not just go ahead and say you got a banana in the freezer? One excuse is as good as another. The real bottom line is that if this is what was lighting us up, this is where we'd want to be. Is it true? You go to work because you want the paycheck and you want to keep the job. You go to play because you want to play. You go to dinner, and I don't see many of us looking too much like we've missed our dinner. We don't miss too many meals because we want to eat. And this book says it's nourishment. Man shall not live by bread alone.